There we go. All right. Very good. So glad you're all here today. Second Sunday of Advent. Kind of challenging readings, I thought. And what I want to do is go into what it is to be a child of Abraham and how Jesus works in our lives to do that. Because that's who you are. That's exactly who you are. And there's a manner of living, of operating, of faith that really underlines that. That is part of that identity. And so as I was thinking about this, normally what happens is I thought of something that came up in my past. So I thought I'd share that with you right now. When I was I was a young man. I was a new vicar of a church there in Pennsylvania. I'd been there for a long time, as you know. But we were just beginning, and there was something going on that caused a lot of anxiety in the church. Maybe you've seen things like that along the way. That's, you get some anxiety going. Now, what I don't remember is what was causing all the anxiety. I just don't remember that. But I remember we were all very anxious. And I was in the habit at that time of going to the church for morning prayer. And I was by myself, but that's what I did. I went into the church building. We were just two doors down the road. It was an easy walk. So I go up for morning prayer. And this one morning, there I was praying, going through the morning prayer, daily office. And, it slapped me up the side of the head. That's how it was. Commit to the Lord whatever you do and your plans will succeed. That's the New International Version. That's what I read it in. That's how it hit me. And that's a little more than 35 years ago. It is still with me. I can still remember sitting in that seat in that church and the feeling I had when that hit me. And there was something that came in that word that was provided to me that I did not have that empowered me and enabled me to go through that anxious time. So I stayed on that. I thought about that. I prayed about it. I shared it with friends. I said, this hit me, and I think it has to do with this. And we talked about that. And somehow we got through that anxious time. Now, as interesting as all the details may have been that I really can't recall, the underlying power of that moment was this. In order to get to where God is taking us, we need something outside of ourselves. For us to get to where God is taking us, the steps He's calling you and me to take in our lives, we need something outside of ourselves. And the reason for that is that we cannot transform ourselves into the likeness of Jesus by ourselves. We need something outside of ourselves for that transformation to take place. And it takes that transformation of becoming more and more like Jesus to do what Jesus asks us to do. The kind of life He calls us into, the things that He wants us to pursue and to follow. It takes His power, which is outside of us, coming into us. And in that situation, through that particular Bible verse, something of the power of God, something of the way God is, the confidence and hope of God, was poured into my life. And I was able to move along. Now, that doesn't mean that there weren't any anxious moments since then. Of course there have been. But what I was able to gain, what I knew from that moment on, was there's something provided from God that gets us to the next step, the next level, the next thing, the open door. It is not within me that gets me there. Something that He pours in. Very powerful kind of thing. And to tell you the absolute truth, that it was that particular, not that I'm telling you anything less than the absolute truth, but to tell you the absolute truth, that particular verse, commit to the Lord whatever you're doing, your plans will succeed. That goes into something that's deep within me that the Lord wants to change. And I can't change it on my own. I need his power to make that change, to make that transition. And it's this, I've told it to you before, some of you might even be guessing what it is now. I have this tendency to tell God, here's the plan, I want you to bless it. In fact, God, this plan is absolutely perfect. And I don't see why you wouldn't agree with me on that. So, you know, here we go. I came up with this plan. Look how it fits in. That's my tendency. God, some of you share that, I know. God, and what God is saying, it comes from me. It comes from me, the Lord God. What I call you to, what I want you to do. And then the form of that walk takes shape. That's how it goes. Now, I know some of you think that the Bible says God helps those who help themselves. It does not. I won't go down that path too far, except to say, stop thinking like that. Don't do that anymore. When I wave my hands like this, that means it's very important. Very important. Because what are you doing when you're saying God helps those who help themselves? I will come up with a plan. I will come up with the way that it is. I will pull from my experience. I pull from what I know. And I'll give it to God and ask God to bless it. Don't do that. Ask God, what's the door you're opening? Where are you already at work, and how can I step into that? That's what it is to follow Jesus. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to do that with every little tiny thing, like how many paper clips should I order or things like that. Just when your season is changing, when God is leading you somewhere, it's, God, where are you at work? And then join him there. That's what it is to be a child of Abraham. And Paul says in Galatians that we are the children of Abraham because of our faith, because of responding to God by faith. Abraham responded to God by faith. Abraham said yes to God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. When we say yes to Jesus, it's counted to us as righteousness. It's not something that we earn or work at. And we can move into that identity of being children of Abraham in some very concrete, practical ways. And what I want to point out to you this morning from the gospel reading today, in this very interesting encounter between the Pharisees and Sadducees and John the Baptist, about the... What is that? The second paragraph, the next to last sentence. Do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor, for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. That is the way that happens. And it's happened with us. It's happened with you. It's happened with me. And it'll keep happening. I mean, just a little context here. John the Baptist, he was kind of a wild guy. Not quite as wild as Jesus, but he was a wild guy. You remember Jesus was a wild man, don't you? Okay, let me remind you about this. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, patting lambs on the head is not a picture we see in the Bible. We see a young man in his early 30s, get on an unbroken animal, ride it through a crowd and up a hill. That's a wild man. That's not meek and mild. That is just not meek and mild. And then he gets off of that unbroken animal and goes into the temple and starts pushing people around and turning over their tables and gets a whip. That's a wild man. That's who you follow. Think about that and pray about that. You compare that to John the Baptist, who is not quite as wild as that. I mean, he's got the camel hair and all that, and he's eating locusts and wild honey. That's way wilder than I want to be, I'll tell you that. And he's out there in the wilderness. He's in the Jordan River, and he's got this reputation as a preacher, and people are coming by crowds to be baptized by him. Some scholars estimate 1 million people came out to John the Baptist. And they would go there and confess their sins, and he would baptize them. And you could go again and again. It's kind of like our practice of confession today. You just don't sin once and that's over, do you? No, okay. So you go back and you keep confessing your sins. And that's what he did. And here are the Pharisees and Sadducees, who are the leaders of the Israelites, the religious leaders. They come out and they give him trouble and they start questioning him, just like they did with Jesus. And let's take another look at that. They're questioning him, and he sees the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism. He knows what's going on with them, and he greets them. You wouldn't want him on this greeting committee, would you? I'm here greeting people. You brood of vipers. Who warned you to flee the wrath to come? I mean, he's okay. So, he wouldn't be elected pastor anywhere I know of. And then he says, bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor. Now that's the key to what is going on here. He's saying to the Pharisees and Sadducees, what you are doing is you are relying on your family, your ancestry, your knowledge, your skill, your past, your experience, your position. And none of that is faith. What you need to do is bear fruit worthy of repentance. So what we have here is how you start following Jesus and what you can expect to happen as you do. You start following Jesus by faith, by saying, okay, I'm with you, and you start looking for him, and wherever he is, that's where you go. What you see God doing is what you do. And if you think God is doing something, then you go ahead and you try to do that. And if it doesn't quite pan out the way you think it is, it doesn't mean you missed it. What it means is there's more coming. You don't give up because you didn't get what you thought you were going to get. What you do is you keep going after God and going after God and going after God because you are part of the children of Abraham. You are the ones who are living by faith and not by sight. And you keep going in that direction. Instead of what you've understood before. Because sometimes God will take you to a place you don't understand at all. You don't have any idea where you are. You've never seen anything like this before, and you have no idea what's happening. Usually because what God is doing, he's getting you ready for your future, for the next step, the next season in your life, which you go into by faith as you follow Jesus. He is not getting you ready to keep looking back at your past and what you experienced before and what you know from before and how it was before and what you loved from before. Nothing wrong with any of that. It just doesn't get you to where God is taking you. He's taking you deeper. Because you are a child of Abraham. And the next time you find yourself standing somewhere like, I don't know what this is. I don't understand what's going on. I've never seen anything like this before. We've never done it this way before. That is God getting you ready for the next season of what's coming. You don't want to be like the Pharisees and Sadducees who say, yeah, but we have Abraham as our ancestor, because some voice of John the Baptist will come to you and say, do not say we have Abraham as our ancestor. Do not say we're trusting in the past. It's by faith we're moving into the future. Okay, everybody okay? Uh-oh, there's one. Okay. All right. Now, what you can expect as that is going on is that you would bear fruit. And bearing fruit is the sign of you abiding in Christ, resting in Jesus. You're bearing fruit worthy of repentance. And repentance is just you turning around. It's not you feeling bad. You don't have to feel bad to repent. Is that okay? So, some of you hear that as good news, I hope. You're going to think, oh, you know, I messed that up. Oh, now what am I going to do? God's really going to get me now. You don't have to do any of that to repent. You're going this way, and you just go start going that way. That's repenting. It's turning around. You're going your way, and then you turn around, you see Jesus over there. So you start going that way that Jesus is going. That's repentance. And there, you will start bearing fruit. Fruit needs something outside of itself to become fruit. Some of you who are master gardeners and so forth will know this. You take a seed, and for that seed to bear fruit, the first thing you got to have is some ground. And the seed doesn't come with its own ground. You got to find some ground and put it in there. And then the ground may not have its own fertilizer. So you got to find some fertilizer and put that on there. And then the ground probably doesn't have its own water. So you got to find some water and take it over to the ground fertilizer and put it on there. You know, the seed needs things from outside of itself to pierce through the ground, to bud, to flower, to grow. And if it becomes a tree, if it gets far enough to become a tree, the tree still needs things from outside of itself to bear fruit. Needs water, needs fertilizer, needs light. Probably left one out, but you know, it needs things from outside of itself so that it'll bear fruit. If it doesn't have these things from outside of itself, it will not bear fruit. What we need to bear fruit, fitting of repentance, fruit that gives glory to God, is things from outside of ourself so that we have the capacity to do that. And those things from outside of ourselves are the presence of Jesus, the presence of the Word, worship, fellowship, outreach, things like that. A rhythm of our life in which we're always in the presence of God, Him pouring God's life being poured into us all the time. That's the thing that causes fruit to be born. We don't bear our own fruit. We need things from outside of ourselves to do that. That's what it is to be a child of Abraham. That's what it is to be a follower of Jesus. It's always going to Jesus and saying, hey, this is what I think. What do you think? This is where I want to go. Where are you going? I want to go with you. This is the way I look at the church. How do you look at the church? That's what I want to see. I want to see the church that you see. All of that is what it is to be a follower of Jesus, to go in that direction, to be a child of Abraham. Now, I want to encourage you to take up one practice about that. And the practice that I want to encourage you to take up, if you would do that this week, I think you'll start to see some of how this works in your own life, because it'll work in our lives differently. Each person works a little differently. And the practice I want to encourage you to take up is this. Be still and know that I am God. It's a little simpler than some of the other practices I've encouraged you to do. Except for maybe that being still part. But if you just find some time, as often as you can this week, and you do it, and you say, God, I want to be still, and I want to know that you are God. And it's right there in the Bible. It's got to be true. Be still and know that I am God. Take that up. And I think you'll see this kind of thing happen. You will see stones in your own soul become centers of faith. See, the Aramaic word for stone and child sounds the same. It's very, very similar. And these guys are speaking Aramaic. And God is telling us, the stones that are in your soul, I can raise them to be children of Abraham. I can transform them to be the places where life and faith is flowing through you. The places that are blocked, stopped up, hard as boulders, and it seems like nothing can get around them. I can make those centers of life. And you have probably discovered at this point in your life, you cannot. You know, there's probably things in your life, some of them may be coming to your mind right now, where you're thinking, that'll never be different. I will never be able to change. That will always be the case. That's the way that I am. Anybody ever say that out loud? Hey, that's the way I am. That's the way it's going to be. Take it or leave it. And God says, that stone I can transform into a child of Abraham. And when you are before him, being still and saying, I want to know that you are God, one of the ways he is going to show you is when that stone becomes a center of faith. That stone has the flow of life going through it. Just like when Moses struck the rock in the wilderness and water started gushing out of it for the children of Israel. That'll be your life. How that'll work, I don't know, because it works differently in each person's life. But I would look for that. Now, I'm hoping you'll answer me verbally or with a raised hand or whatever. Will you sit before the Lord this week as often as you can and say, I want to know that you are God?
Yes.
Okay, this side of the room was a little stronger. This side, maybe you just raised your hands, right? Okay, very good. Do that. It's what it is to follow Jesus. You're going to find yourself going past plans and strategies into the places of the Spirit of God that he has prepared for you. Nothing will shake it. Would you please stand? Jesus, you are the Lord of all lords and the King of all kings, and we thank you and bless you for the hope that you give us. And we ask that today, the stones that are in our souls that block the flow of life, today you would transform them into being places of faith, children of Abraham, so that we might follow after you all the days of our life. Amen.